Better Environmentally Sound Transportation invites you and your organization to take the commuter challenge. BEST is a local non-profit charity dedicated to building healthy communities by promoting sustainable transportation. Year-round, BEST organizes events and programs that educate individuals on environmental issues and encourage viable solutions. In the first week of June this year, BEST will run the Commuter Challenge. It's an event that encourages individuals to use cleaner modes of transportation for their commute to work and help improve air quality throughout Metro Vancouver. It's a fun competition between workplaces wherein employees utilize sustainable transportation options, such as cycling, walking, teleworking, taking transport, and car or van pooling. Last year, nearly 100 companies and over 40,000 people participated in the challenge. This year, we expect even more. Contact BEST at 604-669-2860 or CAM at best.bc.ca for more information about signing up your faculty or organization in the 2008 Commuter Challenge. By making a small change, you can make a big difference.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM with your lovely hosts, Julia Saunders, that's me, and Caroline McGillivray.
Aloha.
Maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca, but hey, if you ever miss a show, you can download a podcast from juiceboxradio.com. I try to get them up the very next day, but yeah. So tonight's
our five-year anniversary.
5 years on the air as of May 28th. Whatever it was, 2003?
Something like that.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 2003. May 28th, 2003, Maura Ingraham and I did our first Juicebox Radio show live. Very exciting days. We were making tapes of them back then on the tape cassette. We were pressing record, and that was the biggest thing we had to organize, not actually getting up podcasts, which is just as hard, actually, if not a little harder than putting a tape in and pressing record. Anyway, 5 years ago... Yeah, it was good times. And since then, I've had Alex Bacon as a guest or as a co-host. And then I've had Maryse Cossé. She did the show. She did her own kind of show for a while. Maura did her own kind of show for a while. Every other week, I was on the air, and then she was on every other week. And there's been a lot of transitions. It's been fun. So here we are tonight. You and I have been on the air together for a year and a half.
Almost two.
Almost two?
Yeah.
Good Lord, I'm getting old too fast. Caroline? Anyway, all right. So tonight's show, what is it about?
It is all about intimacy. It's that thing that scares everyone, but yet it is one of the most important things and one of those things to keep the survival of a relationship going, for it to be successful and to watch it grow. So we're going to hear it from the female first, then the male perspective as the Juice Box Girls delve into this rich topic that every woman says she wants and a lot of guys say that they're terrified of. And quite frankly, do any of us really know what intimacy is?
I think so. We're going to talk about it, though, tonight. If you don't know what it is, we can help you build it, learn about what it is, and build it in your relationship so you can have the most richest, most amazing relationships of your life, because really they are based on intimacy.
And we're going to be taking calls, and so you can give us a call if you want to contribute to this conversation we're going to be having at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBCCITR.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah.
So, Julia, you had a pretty interesting weekend. You started off graduating on Thursday. Yay!
My master's, yes.
Which is very lovely.
Big day.
You took off to Seattle. And if I remember correctly, weren't you with David Data live this weekend at that intimacy building retreat? And you actually survived to tell about that.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I heard it's kind of a little scary.
It was intense. It was very intense, like most retreats can be.
You've been on a lot of retreats, but how is this one different?
Yeah, I think Data's work, you know, we've had some guests on the air, Chiron and a few others that mentioned Data's work, and I'd never really read more than a few paragraphs of his work. But I thought he was very well written, and some of my, you know, guests have spoke about him like he's just the guru of you know, men learning to be empowered and helping couples have, like, amazing, mind-blowing, you know, pathway to God, sex, and stuff like that. So I was quite excited about the opportunity to go down, and I went down, and I was a volunteer, so I was kind of working as well, which made it a little bit harder.
I like the choice of the words going down, Julia.
So I headed down to Seattle with a good friend, and he's the male perspective that we're going to be having on the show tonight after the break.
This is Sean Connor, who writes for Lava Life, right?
Yes, and he wrote an article for Lava Life on spirituality for men, spirituality and dating, I think, this past Lava Life article. I think it comes out soon in a few days. Anyway, so we went to this retreat together, and they do separate the men and women quite a bit. There's like morning exercises where, you know, well, let me see. How does this differ from other workshops I've been to? It's similar to some of the like Sterling Institute of Relationship cult that I went to
Tell us a bit about the Sterling thing, because as soon as you started talking about Data, I started getting chills and went, oh my God, this sounds like Sterling.
Well, the thing is that I found his teachings to be very profound and meaningful and important on intimacy and on people being in their power and in their purpose, and men specifically having a very clear purpose in their life and directing themselves towards that. I think Sean will talk a little bit more about that at the second half of the show.
Okay.
But, you know, just teaching women how to really open their hearts, and a lot of the exercises for the women alone were about opening our hearts, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show as well.
Sure.
But I think it differed in some ways, because it was like a lot of relationship coaching. It almost felt like a TV show at some points, because...
Was there cameras there?
No, but the couples would like get up and talk, and then he would basically one-on-one counsel these couples and talk, you know, broadly to the group, and then speak to the couple specifically what their issues. So I felt like I was kind of listening to one of those talk shows where Dr. Phil goes and tears people apart.
Oh, wow.
You know? And so there was a lot of stuff there that wasn't super applicable to me, because I'm not in a long-term committed relationship at the moment. And I was finding myself quite bored. But there was a couple of times, and I think Sean will talk about it as well, where they brought the men up on the stage and had them kind of adjusting themselves to see energetically how they might be...
Are we talking
about displaying their purpose better somehow? Anyway, I'll get him to clarify that.
I just had a visual of all these El Bundys up on the stage adjusting their penises.
Yeah,
that's not quite what you meant, is it?
No.
Okay.
So let me see. I don't know. It differed in... I mean, it was powerful in ways that I learned a little bit more clearly what it is that I need to demonstrate to the world around me to attract the kind of man that I think is conscious, highly conscious. And evolved and being able to connect. I learned a little bit about how to connect more deeply with my partner. There was some tantric-based breathing exercises in it that we did in this huge group of 200 people, which was really 200 powerful.
200 people.
180. Very powerful. I mean, we were all lined up in chairs, like facing each other, like, you know, in partners, and it was incredibly powerful. I really loved the breathing exercises. I got a lot out of them.
Were most of these people, were they couples or were there a lot of singles as well?
I'd say that half the room was, or more, were couples. And the other half were coupled, but their partner wasn't there.
And were you?
And then the other half was, the other third was single. But not that many single people. I'd say maybe even a quarter.
And were you able to talk to some of the couples and get a feeling or kind of watch when he was working with them afterwards and see how they related to each other afterwards? Did you notice any difference?
I saw some of the way that people were relating to each other a little bit. I found it to be... I found him to be pretty hard on some people. Like, he kind of started losing patience over the weekend. He was
really?
Like, for the 10th time, I'm going to tell you again, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
did you find this approach shut more people down, or did it push them to that next level?
I mean, I couldn't see these couples. I caught the back of their heads, right? But
okay.
And I, as a volunteer, I was at the very back row, so I wasn't really able to sit in the middle and be all that engaged. I think that might have been part of the problem.
Okay. I have to ask you, Ms. Julia, what is your definition of intimacy, since this is what the show is all about tonight?
Well, to me, intimacy is all about connection. So it's like whether it's physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, it can be what you get with your friends, your family, doesn't matter. It's really about learning about each other, disclosing secrets, like being, not even secrets, but being really close with, like, the details of your life and your feelings. Being able to read each other from across the room, like, that intimacy that you build together creates that rapport.
So is that energy exchange?
Well,
what
it's
are we
just
talking about?
Knowing your person in your life, whether it's your friend, your family, your lover, knowing them so well that you can know them better than they know themselves. So you can actually read them beyond what they can do for themselves.
Okay.
And it's kind of like you just are so close... that you can really give each other the gifts that you need to in your relationship. And when a person is, like, really floundering, and Data talked quite a bit about this actually on the weekend, that you know better for them what they need or where they're at, and you can actually help guide them to be the best they can be or to express the most they can or to get, you know, if they need a glass of water, you know, like, you're just more in such good rapport that you can care for each other and help that person without even talking about it. Just
that's an
output, I guess, of being intimate. I mean, developing it takes time and connection and talking and, I don't know, vulnerability.
Okay.
Deep, meaningful connection that makes you feel vulnerable, and which can be a beautiful thing for some people and very, very scary for others, which is why we're talking about how it can be terrifying if people don't even know what it is. I mean, I've dated some men in the years, these last 20 years, that seriously don't have a clue what intimacy is all about, how it feels, how to get there, and they're, like, totally disconnected. I mean, anyway, let's not talk about me. It's the 5th anniversary show, but it's not going to be a Caroline and Julia show too much.
It's a little bit of Caroline and Julia show.
Well, what's your definition of intimacy, Caroline?
I love how you put me in the hot seat, Miss Julia.
Let's hear about it.
My definition of intimacy is being so present in my own body and having somebody else there, which is why I think a lot of the work sometimes that Tanya Diamond does, for example, with the eye gazing, the breath work, where you get really connected with another being, and it's not really me, it's not really them, it's the energy that's exchanged in between us. That, to me, is intimacy, and that's usually built up between the eye gazing, the staying present, and all the breathing work. And as well as that, it's also communication that's built, where it's really strong communicating. It's not just, and as I was saying, it's that energy exchange, but to do that, the communication verbally, emotionally, spiritually, all that stuff has to kind of be in sync, which sometimes I think when we can't find the words to say what we're really feeling, sometimes the breath work does that for us, as does the eye gazing. What I found really interesting is I didn't get a chance to go to that workshop with you this weekend, but I did do a workshop with Tanya Diamond, in which she's the tantric teacher at thetantricteacher.com, which I love her. And what I found interesting was she went around and asked everybody, both at the women's only workshop that we spoke about before Four and the Couples Workshop, which actually Sean Connor, who's going to be on the show later on, was my partner for that, which was interesting.
How interesting that we're all three of us are going to be on the fifth anniversary for talking about intimacy.
But what was interesting was she went around and asked everybody what their definition of intimacy was.
Right.
And we heard everything from connection to hugging, love, and nobody had a really clear view. Mm-hmm. And then Tanya looked at all of us and said, well, no wonder men and women can't give each other intimacy because nobody understands what it means.
Well, okay, I think that's a point, but I mean, like Wikipedia, for example, says that it changes.
I was just going to say, let's check and see what Wikipedia says.
It varies, right? And that's what I was trying to say. It varies from relationship to relationship, but I think it has to do, and I agree with Wikipedia, it has to do with rituals of connection.
Hmm.
And like I said, it requires empathy. You have to be able to stand in the other person's shoes, which is what I was talking about, where you can kind of almost know what they need before they know what they need. And again, Wikipedia says it's the ability and the choice to be close, to be loving, to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But intimacy requires identity development, and that's the point that I think is really important. You have to know yourself,
yes,
and you have
do.
To know your inner self, and actually in order to share yourself with another, and then you have to have the courage to share yourself and stand up for yourself in a relationship without losing yourself to the other person. So that ability to be self-differentiated from the other person, but very close emotionally, is going to be a healthy, intimate relationship. So Wikipedia says it dwells in reciprocity.
Well, that's an interesting
which
word.
Which builds on the self-disclosure and the candor that you have that helps to develop intimacy. So, but there's problems. You can develop intimacy too close, too quickly. I think a lot of people do that. They have trouble with their boundaries. They don't develop and keep their boundaries. They don't, and they want to sustain the connection, but they're poorly skilled. And they don't disclose perhaps very well, or they reject people that try to get close to them because they're fear of that connection with another.
Or perhaps they've got an image of what somebody's like. For example, the work of Harville Hendricks, for example, who's got the book How to Get the Love You Want,
mm-hmm.
How to Get the Love You Need.
Right.
In regards to where you've got an image of the perfect person based on a lot of needs that weren't met in childhood. So a lot of times when we meet somebody and we recognize something in them that feeds those needs, we project something on them. So we don't get to know them right away. Everything they say, it's like, oh my goodness, that's so right. But we don't really know who this human being is. So it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Intimacy takes a lot of work.
For sure. It does. And it takes a lot of self-disclosure and a lot of vulnerability.
Definitely.
For sure. I think with David Data this past weekend, and of course you can read his books and figure his stuff out. I don't know. I learned about how to really get the heart connection going. And it's like you said with Tanya Diamond, I think it's like, you know, the eye gazing, the breathing together, you know, it's as simple as that. Like mm-hmm. you look in each other's eyes and you maintain eye contact and you breathe together. Like
yes.
all of a sudden there's like something bigger than you that starts to happen.
It is.
It's beautiful. But I think it takes a lot of commitment. I think intimacy building and Data was saying, you know, commitment, especially from men, they have to be devotionally committed to their partner. And, mm-hmm. and women do too. Women in their heart, devotion and willing to allow their partner to lead and be able to trust their partner. And that's like a really important part of intimacy building as far as Data is concerned. And I had to agree with him. And I talked about earlier intuiting each other, so knowing what each other might need, you know, seeing the best in that person even when they're in a really bad mood because you're devoted to them, because you're committed to them and you love them
mm-hmm.
as they are. I think that that's going to help with the trust and the development of intimacy. But he talked a lot about the differences between men and women throughout the weekend and basically how women and men do relationship and how women and men do sex. And there was many times over the weekend where he was talking about how a guy is to how he should fuck his woman, and it just would get so
hot.
It was crazy. I was like, oh my God, you sound like he probably is the best lover that would ever be on the entire planet. The way that he was talking, no, he's been in a long-term committed relationship for monogamous for a long time. But, you know, and I have to agree with him on several things. I really did get a tremendous amount out of the weekend.
So you guys
But it was also quite a boot camp.
It was a boot camp, hey?
Boot camp for the heart, man.
It was pretty hardcore, and that kind of scares me a little bit. You're
saying
that you're pretty raw.
I'm feeling pretty raw. I'm feeling my heart's pretty sore.
You told me about one particular exercise over dinner. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
The evil partner boot camp bitch one?
Yes.
No, I think if listeners are interested to hear about that, they can email me, but I'm afraid of getting sued by the evil partner. Anyway.
It's your perception as to what how he reacted.
I'll just quote that, you know, this person, this woman said, oh, yeah, you know, three quarters of the women in the room are in these women only part. And they basically are crumpled on the floor in the fetal position, bawling. And she says in kind of a bit of a sneery voice, which is sort of my thinking at the moment. Oh, yeah, ladies, I meant to tell you this exercise was intended to break your heart. And I was just like chill going through me, and I'm already crying. And it was just like, anyway, I was like, okay. So I actually got really sick after that, and I think it really broke me down. And so there's some stuff there, and I find him a bit of a misogynist. I found Data to be a bit of a woman hater. I kind of got a sense, and he's devotional with women, but I feel like he was a bit of a woman hater. Anyway, I've talked to some other people about it. They agreed with me. They read his books. They were like, yeah, I kind of got that feeling. So
can we go back to the evil bitch for a second? I just want to clarify. So after that exercise, it sounded like it was a Nancy boot camp, basically, where they kind of kept you in chains and held you in one spot for like 45 minutes or something. Yeah. And it's like, you can do it. You can do it.
Well, they were comparing a physical exercise to the ability that I have to love. And other women in the room, like the ability that you're able to stay in this physically challenging position equates to your ability to love. And if you fall apart or you can't hold it or you can't continue, then this is how little you can actually love or are able to love. And I was so determined to be like, no, I am like one of the most loving people I know, and I'm not going to fail at this. I am like, you know, I will love you more than most. Like, fuck, you know, my heart's huge, right? So I really took it personally, and I pushed myself farther than I probably should have. But there's other women there that were really kind of relying. We were really relying on each other to support each other to do this. Anyway, it was meant to break our hearts, and it did. It really did. And so, you know, that was a big deal. I don't want to talk about it too much more, Caroline. But
one of the things I did want to ask is if you thought with the other exercises that followed after that, if that would have basically been, I guess I'm comparing it to theater school, where there are certain ones that have the theory
to build us back up.
Yeah, if they break you down, then they can build you back up again.
I talked to somebody about that after a gentleman who had finished the workshop to the very end, and it sounded like it was a bit more of the same of stuff that we'd already heard, supporting couples to clear their shit, and then some more breathing exercises and just like refinements on the breathing exercises. So I don't know what his final words were for Data's retreat there, but I'm sure he did some, you know, you can do it, everybody. It's all about love, and that's true, right? So
you were also mentioning a little bit that he was a bit of a misogynist bit, and you found that he didn't really seem to like women at all.
I think he's. You can tell that he respects them, but it's kind of like from afar. He's kind of like, women really have got their shit together. They know what they're doing, but they're very highly manipulative. And even if you do your best for them, it's never going to be enough. And that women play games, and this is what we do for fun, is like emotionally play with our partners and, you know, fuck with them.
It sounds like he has a little bit of baggage there.
I'm just like, you know what? I'm not like that. I am not a game player. I do not, like, if you give me love and give me wonderful things, I'm, you know, whatever it is, like, if you connect with me and you're present with me and you, you know, give me good sex, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, well, you think that's good enough? No, here's another test. Like, I'm just not like that. So anyway, I was taking it kind of personally, a lot of the stuff he was saying. I was like, and there's lots of times I didn't agree with him.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example.
Well,
if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. He's some misinformation about anatomy, women's anatomy, and there was other stuff around, just the emotional stuff where I don't agree with him. I thought, you know, that's such a broad statement that it's not even applicable, really, in this world, because, maybe women in their early 20s are the way that you speak about, but you're painting a wide brush of how women are in relationship, and I don't agree with him. He talked a lot about masculine and feminine, and so there wasn't a lot of room for homosexuality in there either. I didn't appreciate that. He kept sort of saying it in the beginning, but it wasn't functioning.
It was interesting
very
how
well.
You're mentioning how he talked a lot about how women could be manipulative, And I'm curious about that statement because I think in general, since Sex and the City is coming out, that book, He's Just Not That Into You, I forget who wrote it, but he's actually one of the contributors to Sex and the City, the series. And mm-hmm. what I found interesting with that was he had recommended that, what did he recommend? I just blocked out my point. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Are we talking about tough love?
No.
okay. I wish I could help you. I just can't. Okay,
oh, yes.
Fifth anniversary show.
In terms of relationships and things like that, a lot of times women don't necessarily read. They read between the lines a lot of times, and we read a lot of things where a lot of times guys come right out and say what they mean.
Mm.
And they say it a lot. They don't speak as much as we do, but they do say what they mean a lot of the times, and we tend to look at we always try and create subtext. Because women, we speak in subtext. We don't always say what we mean.
I don't know if men always say what they mean either, but I do know that there's one thing that you really can trust, and that's a man's actions.
Hmm.
So what a man does, you have to believe that. Like, that is who he is. That is
interesting.
What you can expect or not expect from him is what a man does. And I actually learned that from Sterling, 17 years ago, and it's something that's guided my ability to read men very well. I choose to ignore it sometimes and hope that they really mean what they say and kind of get all mushy about it. But really, in the end, it's what they do that you can trust, ladies. So,
would you say Sterling is a little bit gentler than this tough love version that we're getting here from Data?
Actually, one of the things I really liked about Data compared to Sterling was that he had the men and women in the room a lot more. And In Sterling, there are no mixed weekends. It was
really?
Just women's weekend, men's weekend. And he was very separating and very secretive about what he would teach each other. And I learned the hard way that was a really bad thing. Like, what he was teaching the men was really intense and, like, not always honest and true. But, you know, he was manipulating women and men to be a certain way. And I got a little bit of that from Data, was that he was kind of doing this manipulation stuff where he was dividing the sexes so much that it wasn't leaving room for people that, you know, are going to be a mixture of both and able to sort of navigate both ways of being. And he really was putting us in boxes, and the generalizations weren't always very pretty.
Yeah.
I didn't like them. I didn't find his workshop to be all that empowering in a lot of ways. It was very informational. It was very helpful. It was deep. It was there was tools that I definitely have taken away and will use.
Are you still processing it?
I'm still processing it, obviously, aren't I?
Yeah. That's okay. I find it interesting because I think for me, I think I like the Mother Earth kind of technique, which is why I think I like Tanya Diamond's work a lot better. I found that she created a really safe environment. We did a lot of eye-gazing exercises, which for me, it was really scary because I was doing it with Sean, who was a total stranger at the time. and yet at the same time, she created a wonderful safe space that even the couples that had been together for 10 years, people who had never met, actually we were the only ones who had never met because it was a couples workshop that I took. We felt really, really, really safe, and she created this wonderful sacred space. And I think for me, I have to feel safe to feel that I can feel intimacy, and I definitely felt that I had experienced some intimacy that I'd shared with Sean in terms of that, just through the breath work and everything else,
right,
even though we didn't know each other at the time. And I highly recommend Tanya's work. I found it really safe, and she had a really simple way of presenting things. It was kind of like the feel-good version of theater school, which I always liked because it created a safe space where
safe
I could just play and use my instrument, my vocal energy, kinetic energy, and emotional inner life to connect with another person and create this wonderful world in between us.
Wow. Sounds amazing. So what exercises have you taken home or integrated or do you use right now and from Tanya Diamond's work in your intimate relationships?
I still use the practice, the voice work and things like that, and the breath work, definitely. The eye gazing I find really interesting. I haven't, as you know, I've been doing my series of articles on online dating, so I haven't had as much opportunity in terms of practicing the tantric sex. I've had one experience with that, and it was pretty mind-blowing.
Nice.
And using all of her work, and I definitely have to say it was pretty wonderful. And yeah,
well,
I had to thank her for that.
I'm glad we're ending this first half of the show on that wonderful, warm, and loving way that you described the ability to use Tantra exercises, which Data was using all weekend but didn't once mention that they were tantric and that you could access them from any Kama Sutra book or any tantric exercise book. And I was kind of like, okay, you guys, like, you're making it seem like you're creating all this stuff scratch. Like, no, this has been around forever, thousands and thousands of years. And
I wonder if it's because they're not certified as tantric practitioners. Well, and that could be where, just in terms of suing and
I think
all
it's
that.
A marketing thing. I think it's a marketing thing. It I think anyone can talk about tantric exercise. Is the fire breath orgasm they used, and they used like the eye gazing and heart gazing exercise.
I like that. We did some fire breathing in Tanya's workshop as well.
Anyway, you're listening to Juice Box on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver. We're going to take a little break right now. Keep the dial locked. We welcome your calls during this time especially.
And we are getting cheered at. We will be right back.
604-822-2487, and we will be back in a jiffy.
Yay, with Sean Connor.
Sean Connor, yeah.
The AMS. Yeah. The mission for AMS is organization to improve quality of educational, social and personal lives of the students of UBC.
There are many ways to get involved, yeah. Start a club, volunteer, or work for one of your AMS businesses.
Yeah, please visit the website at ams.ubc.ca.
Okay, yeah.
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 Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. If you are joining in right now, you listen to Juice Box Radio, and you're with the wonderful Julia Saunders. Happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you. 5 years on the air, yes.
Kiss, kiss.
It's been quite a commitment, like a good intimate relationship.
Exactly, which is exactly what we're discussing tonight, intimacy. He says, she says, or she says, he says.
Well, whatever. He's going to say in a minute, but first, Juice Berries. So we have the Love and Grace Affair coming up, Caroline.
It's
I know you like to talk about this.
Love Affair, and it is a fundraiser for Beauty Night, and for all of those of you who grew up in Vancouver and like to go to Love Affair, and this is your chance to do it tomorrow night. It's at Celebrities, and it's going to be a blast. Nancy Black fashion show, all sorts of PVC sexy stuff that you can wear for every fetish event. And actually, DJ Pandaram is going to be DJing, which is really cool because he's actually Isaac from Sin City as well. So it's quite cool.
Right on. Okay, another quick one is BreakYourFreak.com. Just check it out. The Dirty Magic Hour is presenting this show on Saturday night. I'll be working the bar. It's a cabaret to express the blessed absurdities of human life in styles, according to my naked performer in my salon, Chain Panic. So there's going to be mind-blowing skits, drama pieces, live art installations, dance, burlesque music, etc. Gorgeous and deadly curious. Nothing you see here will have been seen before. BreakYourFreak.com. So that's Saturday night in Vancouver. And let's welcome our guest, Sean Connor.
Hey there. Congratulations on, what is it, the 50th anniversary?
Yeah, quite that old yet.
That's right, machine. I'm feeling it. So, Mr. Connor, is a dating writer among many other talents. Is this right, Sean?
That's true. That's
you write for Love
accurate.
Life.
Yes.
So, tell us what your definition of intimacy is from a male perspective.
Oh my God! I guess
did we
know,
scare
that
you?
Old bugaboo where you feel like you can say anything to a person.
You can say anything to a person. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
And not worry about being judged and just, you know. Just free reign, say anything, whatever's on your mind.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, I've never actually experienced that, mind you, but that's my fantasy notion of what it is.
Oh, okay. You've never experienced this deep...
Well, no, I exaggerate. I think I have. But,
okay.
Yeah, that would be my definition, but that could change.
Okay. Well, why do you think that this word scares or this concept scares a lot of men or confuses the fuck out of them anyway? Why do you think so?
I think it,
Why does it scare you, Sean Connor?
You're in the hot seat.
I'm just guessing it does, because you're a man.
I don't know why
I went down to this weekend with you. We already said this. You missed that part. I went to David Data with you, honey. I know that intimacy scares you, so just answer the question.
Well, it can't scare me that much if I went to the David Data weekend.
Yeah, well, perhaps you're ready to break through the barriers of your...
And you did live to survive.
You did live to survive Data as well, although we escaped early, didn't we, Sean?
We did. We escaped. Hightailed it out of there.
That's right.
Before we could sign on for the cult.
That's right. But we'd had enough. Anyway, so do you have any ideas about why it intimidates or scares?
No, I'm not prepared for that question at all. So that's a tough one. maybe it's a matter of...
Sorry.
A woman's idea of intimacy might scare guys.
Oh, what do you think a woman's idea of intimacy is?
Uh-oh. Next question.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Why do you think it scares or intimidates women? Because we get just as scared, but I'm curious why guys think that we get scared of it.
Tell me what your definition of intimacy is, and then I can maybe tell you why it might scare guys.
Well, you got to listen to the first half of the show.
Yeah, honey. We asked you to listen to the first half of the show for that exact reason. We're not going to return into this conversation. Why don't we just move on? We have a lot of other really good questions.
Okay.
I got to play with you at the Tanya Diamond Workshop, which that sounds so sexual, doesn't it?
It does.
But I wanted to ask, what did you learn from it? And have you integrated any of it, and in what way in your life?
Well, I've tried to be more aware of my breathing.
Okay.
for me, the best thing about that workshop was the whole healing thing with the men and the women.
Which exercise?
I thought that was a very powerful exercise. Now, it's easily as powerful as anything I experienced at the David Data weekend.
Interesting. Which exercise are you referring to?
In the conference, anyway. Where I think, how did it go? I think where the guy said to the girl, asked for forgiveness for abuses by his brothers and fathers, et cetera.
Mm.
Sort of
on
behalf of his gender, and then vice versa, the women did the same thing, and just kind of, I thought it was a very powerful healing kind of ritual.
I agree. It was a really powerful workshop because I felt really close to you then too, and that was the first time I met you. So I know both of us were really scared of intimacy, if anything else. So.
Well, see, so there's a good example of intimacy. That's where you're both admitting to each other, even though you're total strangers, that you've been hurt.
Yeah.
So it's a very vulnerable place, and that was what was very intimate about that. So maybe getting back to the original question, guys don't want to reveal that they have been hurt.
Hmm.
Maybe it does damage their masculinity or psyche to be intimate on that level and say, you know, I've gone through this painful experience. I've been hurt. As guys, we're more or less taught to kind of hide that kind of thing. So that might be one answer to your question about intimacy and guys being scared of it.
All right.
You know what? I'd be inclined to agree with you. And I think for women, a lot of times we tend to hide our anger.
Yeah.
Where we hide it under the guise of tears because for us, we've been taught it's okay to cry. But I know for myself, I was always taught that I wasn't allowed to get angry. Women did not do that. So a lot of times, as women, I know we tend to suppress what we're really feeling because we don't want to hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
And we end up hurting ourselves instead.
Yeah.
So in other words, men and women aren't always honest with each other, hence it's difficult to get to the intimacy. Did you find it was easier doing those exercises with somebody that you didn't know at all?
I don't really have anything to compare it to because I haven't tried those exercises with someone I do know.
Well, how did
we tried. Sean and I did try a few times at the data workshop to work together, but me as a volunteer, they kept pulling me away from everything and not letting me do stuff, and it was just like very militant production team. So I didn't get a chance to work with Sean, but I think they say that in Tantra, whomever you do these breathing exercises with and these heart-gazing exercises with, you will fall in love. And Data was warning everybody about that all weekend. Like, you know, we're going to be cutting the cords with you guys. Like, do not come on to the people that you do these exercises with because it's like an automatic heart connection that happens. And so be careful who you practice Tantra with. Make sure you like them because you're going to end up falling in love with them whether you want to or not. So maybe it's good that Sean and I didn't do that because we could have fallen in love and then who knows what would happen.
Oh, there's plenty of love between us already.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I love that.
He was following my breathing in the car. He didn't even realize it, but it was really cute.
I didn't realize it. This is the first time hearing about it. That's,
yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, you did that. You're good. You're learning from Data to follow the woman's breathing. Very good little tip there.
On that note, is that one of the take-home messages for men and women?
I don't know what the take-home messages were. I mean, he kept repeating himself or telling us he was repeating himself, but his message was fairly vague.
I think that we discussed it on the way home, didn't we, Sean, that there was a really clear one about men being in their purpose. And you wrote about that in your Lava Life article.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
read a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So speak about that. That's a pretty big take-home message for men.
I know, and every time I think about that, it's like taxes. It's like, oh, damn, I still haven't done my taxes. And, oh, damn, I still don't have a purpose in life.
What? Really?
It's stressful, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I have vague ideas, but I can't, like, point to this one purpose.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, actually, because I've mentioned this take-home message to about three or four men in the last, you know, 2 days, and each one of them has said that they don't know what their purpose is, and so it does feel stressful.
It is. It's like, and you know, it's kind of
like
been a vague unease since I first read or listened to most of or some of his book, The Way of the Superior Man, where he goes on about purpose in life, and I kind of stopped listening to it. Because I thought, well, geez, now I got to find my purpose, and I've been kind of waiting to find my purpose before I listen to the rest of it.
So is that talk... sorry, Julie, I just want to touch on something you mentioned in the first half of the show. You'd mentioned that you have to be kind of a complete person. And I know you used another way to describe that before you could actually become intimate with another person.
Yeah.
So if a man does not have his purpose in life, does that mean he can't become intimate with him?
Well, I think it's a really
important...
Yes, Data is teaching that as a man, you need to be very clear on what your life purpose is and to be working towards that and focused on that and not as focused on your partnership and the woman in your life, for example. But your primary focus in your life is your purpose in life, where your direction is going. When you make love to a woman, then yes, being highly conscious, being very present. When you're with each other, yes, being highly present, very, very conscious, tuned into her. When you make love, breathing her breath, connecting to her heart through her eyes, you know, her body language, whatever, and really going deep with her, directing her sexually, that kind of thing. He talked a lot about kind of messages for men on how to be in this world and then how to be in bed and how to be in relationship with women and what works.
In regards to the purpose in life, I want to get back to Sean as
well.
That's
a lot of pressure
that Sean's
saying, and I agree with him, I think.
I was just going to ask, did that
leave
you feeling unempowered? Because, Julia, you were mentioning that it wasn't a very empowering workshop at this time.
I didn't feel like it was, no.
How about you, Sean? Did you feel it was empowering, or did it leave you with a lot to think about?
I thought it was empowering. I thought the men's exercises were pretty interesting and empowering.
What kind of exercises what type of work did he do with you?
It was funny because the second morning, I don't know if you guys touched on this, but when we first walked into the room, all the guys, they said, now we're going to rock and roll, literally, and then they put on Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll, and then and then about half an hour later, you hear Joni Mitchell wafting from the women's room, right? So,
I'm sorry, women
can't handle Led Zeppelin. Exercise, they had us do yoga poses. But the real exercises came when we had to stand in front of another guy and do kind of the soul-gazing thing and basically size up the guy and say what he needs to do more of in his life kind of thing.
Were there any fights?
Actually, the second day, there weren't any fights, but there was, like, shows of masculine force where guys would put their hands on each other's shoulders and kind of grunt and try to push each other back.
Wow. That almost sounds homoerotic, even though I know it's not supposed to.
The show tonight is about intimacy building, so I'm going to be, like, bringing us back to that conversation. Fabulous that you want to know the inner workings of the Data Retreat, but I don't even know if we're allowed to talk about that on the air. So
okay, fair enough.
Let's just sort of... So the take-home messages, and then for women, I don't know, Sean, did you get a sense of any take-home messages for women on how to build intimacy?
I think the message that he kept trying to get across was open-heart devotion.
Okay, yeah.
And allowing your guy to follow his purpose.
But so not to get in his way.
Empowering that is for women.
Right. I didn't find it very empowering.
I mean, it sounds pretty subservient to me.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. It helped clarify things for me on what I need to do and how I need to be in this world to attract the kind of man that I want to devote my heart to.
Mm-hmm.
That was helpful. And it helped me personally to prove that my heart is full of sorrow, like a tremendous amount of sorrow, but that's okay. And that there's this constant yearning that I'm always going to feel in my heart for more love and more connection, because that's like an unending well, basically, in women because of our emotional and intuitive way of being in this world. And that love is something that is an unending potential source that we can get from all around us, but it's like this constant yearning that's always in the heart, and I can sense that. And now the message I got with that was just that's kind of okay and that's normal, and I've never heard that before, so I feel a little bit more normal because this constant yearning and this well of sadness that I feel in my heart all the time, it's like an ache. That feels a little bit more normal now, which is empowering, actually. And I guess I shouldn't say that I wasn't empowered at all on the weekend. But yeah, I definitely feel more clear about that yearning and that ache, and that it's okay that it's always there. And it's like, okay.
I think there was probably a lot of richness, because I think you're still processing a little
bit. I think you're right, Caroline. This is probably not a good time to talk about it. But you know what? I'm going to be away for 3 weeks, so I had to talk about it now. Okay, sorry, Sean. This is also about you.
And I actually did want to ask a question in terms of getting back to the men's work. Did you find, Sean, afterwards that you're... How did you feel that you've been able to relate to friends? I know you've only been back for a couple days, but has it made a difference in terms of your relationships, both men and women?
Interesting you should ask that, because Monday night I went out with my friend Will, and I was sitting across from him at a restaurant, and trying to kind of bring back those moments in the men's workshop when I was relating to him,
right,
to see if I had gained any insight or any
ability to connect, ability to be intimate with him.
Connect. And it sort of seemed that I kind of did, because, you know, I was basically describing the workshop and the exercises, and every once in a while I'd catch him, you know, his attention starting to wander, and I'd bring him back, and I think I was much more conscious and aware of trying to maintain a connection with him than I might otherwise have been.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Because that's what intimacy building is all about, right? And like I was saying at the top of the hour, it's not just about our sexual and romantic interests and relationships, but it's about our family and our friends and people that we care about, that we want to connect to, right? And intimacy building is a beautiful thing for every relationship. You know, if we can have an intimate relationship with our friends and the family that we feel close to, then
our
it's going to be
rich,
right? Exactly. So,
and on that note, how did you find his teachings compared to Tanya Diamond's?
Well,
it was obviously different. But.
Obviously a difference. One thing that I noticed a few people complained about Data was how inaccessible he was. And Tanya is certainly more accessible the time or two I've seen her do her workshops. Like, you can go up and talk to her before or after. And I think that just adds to the whole... I mean, if you're going to someone for some kind of emotional connection or to learn about emotional connection, you kind of want that person to be somewhat down-to-earth and accessible.
I agree.
And she's like an earth mama.
Yeah,
I love that woman.
Yeah, and I found her to be very...
Warm.
You know, if you had a question or a problem, you could just go up to her afterwards. And Data didn't have that at all.
Yeah, he basically, like, forced people to stay in their seats in a way by saying that the person that was coming up with some announcements, and then he basically rushed off the stage and went out the side door with a bodyguardish kind of guy who was only there to kind of guide him in and out of the room. And I thought that was kind of interesting, too. I'm like, is it because a bunch of women are going to lynch him for being such a misogynist? Because
they're going to want to just rip his clothes off? But it was
or perhaps, yes.
When
because
he came into the room from the side door, he didn't look at anyone. He looked straight ahead, and he didn't look at anyone until he was in front of the room.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because he's so energetically sensitive. I kind of get that he is very energetically sensitive, but I also really get that he is afraid of people.
Yeah.
And I get that he is... the messages that he gives are pretty... Like, the stuff around women is somewhat misogynistic. It really is. And yeah, I think it's a bit dangerous, to be honest with you, Sean. I haven't even told you that, but I think some of Data's messages are a bit dangerous in this day and age.
Well, let me ask you a question. How do you reconcile what you see as this misogyny with his saying repeatedly that he thinks women are superior and that he's looking forward to this new age of women's empowerment?
That's a good question.
Well, because women always have been superior. This has been the reason why men have tried to beat us down and get us to be in fear, because other than physically, we are kind of advanced in every other capacity, right? And so women were, that's why we were the leaders. Think about the ancient times when, you know, before the church came in and men started to kind of take over power and start wars and whatever, all that happened in the church. Women were actually the ones that were in power and controlling things. So
I think that
physically we will never be superior, but we'll always be the weaker sex. But I think, and of course, the social movement, I know what you're talking about, Sean. I do see... socially, that is already happening, and men are being a little bit disempowered by... Just a second, Caroline. Men are being disempowered, and they're confused and feeling misdirected, and there's a lot of issues in, I think, the male psyche in this day and age. But I don't think that returning to old ways of thinking that I think Data purports are necessarily the road to... evolution. I think that it's just an underlying belief system in him. I think that he, and I think he talks about women being superior to sort of balance out the misogyny that's in there, that's kind of underneath his heart and inside his thinking.
Right.
And he kind of just brushes it off. He's like, women are superior. They always have been. They're fabulous. I look forward to sipping tea while they rule the world with my male friends. Well, they go and do it. Go ahead. If you want to be a super mom and take over the world, women, go ahead and do it. I'm happy here being a powerful man who's highly conscious and can fuck the shit out of you if I want to and when I want to, which is basically his message. That's how he was. That's what he talked about. I'm practically quoting him.
Yeah, so it's just kind of his out.
Yeah, and so I think he just sort of says, yeah, women are better, and so we got to be more manly. But
then
not...
that lets him say anything else he wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it interesting because Tanya Diamond did touch on that as well in terms of women gaining more power in different areas in terms of the workforce, and that one of the things that we need to return to, and she didn't say go back to the 1950s or anything like that, but women have their own power. And it's a different type of energy than men do.
Exactly.
And basically for each sex to celebrate the other sex in terms of that. Mm-hmm. And they fit together like a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
And it's quite lovely that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's what he is trying to say in a not so great way. Maybe he's just not a good communicator.
He's way more about polarization, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. The polarization is, I think, where he sees the energy that fits really well between masculine and feminine. It's all about the polarization.
Okay.
And what I'm sort of trying to suggest here is just that in this, like, if we want to truly evolve, we need to respect and admire, respect and honor, yes, the differences between the sexes, perhaps, but also just the differences between people. Because I'm a very masculine woman in a lot of ways. It's like I'm a leader. I'm strong. It's like, you know, I'm directed. There's a lot of masculine properties in me. But when I'm in bed, I'm the most like submissive sexual person to be with. So he doesn't allow a lot of space for women like myself to have a relationship where I wear the pants in the family. And in bed, I don't, you know, and it's like, and why can't we have relationships that work like that, where I have a man who trusts me to lead the relationship? And yet in bed, I trust him to lead the intimacy building and the connection and the sex.
Interesting. Well, maybe we have to have him on the show at some point and ask him.
And I think it's a very relationship-to-relationship thing. Like I said in the beginning, like Wikipedia says, intimacy is about, it's different. Every relationship is different. And what is working and not working and why?
I agree. It's like the parenting thing. Each kid is different. You have to use different technique for each one.
Yeah. And so I think like when he puts women and men in boxes, like he was doing... I don't think it really empowers the variety that is human.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sean?
I think he holds kind of this philosophical idea that